CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. We're immediately going to SpaceX and its Dragon capsule because NASA, in its wisdom, funded commercial space, and now it has commercial space for its needs. Bob, a very good evening to you. What is Starliner? Remind all of us. And what is the significance of NASA choosing Dragon over Starliner? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, Starliner is Boeing's contract with NASA. And Starliner is the capsule that NASA's contracted from Boeing to ferry astronauts to and from ISS. And, it's comparable to Dragon, and it was supposed to be a second option for NASA to bring astronauts back and forth. Unfortunately, for NASA and Boeing, there have been many delays in that program, in that project. Starliner was supposed to, has done one unmanned demo flight. There were problems. It was aborted before it docked at ISS. They spent a year and a half trying to fix those software problems. And then in August, they were about to launch for a second unmanned demo flight. And they had valve issues, a lot of valve issues. 13 valves wouldn't open when they should, fuel valves. So they had to abort the launch. And they've now put it back in the factory, and they're trying to figure out why those valves didn't open, and they haven't come up with a solution. So right now, the unmanned demo flight is probably not going to happen this year. It means another, 5-6 month delay at a minimum. And so they can't do a manned launch until the demo launch, demo mission flies. So there are two crew members that were assigned to fly on the first Starliner mission back in 2018. And these two astronauts who are experienced have been sitting around. They're working with Boeing, but they're basically sitting and waiting to fly. So NASA this week announced that they're going to change the launch assignments for those two astronauts from the Boeing long-delayed Starliner capsule, and they're just going to shift them and put them on a SpaceX Dragon capsule that's going to fly in 22. Essentially, I think what happened is those two astronauts finally complained to NASA, look, everyone else is flying, and we're sitting here on a duffs not getting anywhere, and we want to go back into space. And so NASA decided, rather than make these people wait an indeterminate amount of time, let's get them on a Dragon capsule, and that's what they've done. This does highlight the advantage of having the idea of having two different capsules from two different companies. Unfortunately, Boeing hasn't given them the second capsule yet, but having SpaceX, it does strengthen NASA's position. They at least have an option that's flying.
Bob, my memory is Orbital Sciences was once in the business of building a spacecraft to go to ISS, but I believe it was only for cargo. Do I remember correctly?
Yeah, that's the Cygnet. Orbital ATK, which was once Orbital Sciences, is now part of Northrop Grumman. And they fly the Cygnus capsule, cargo capsule, on an Antares rocket to ISS to bring cargo, and that's pretty consistent. They never have made any attempt to upgrade that to a manned capsule or a reusable capsule. What they have tried to do is sell it as a module, upgraded version of it, as a module to use in lunar orbit or in Earth orbit. And that push has successfully gotten Northrop Grumman a contract to build part of Gateway using what they know about Cygnus.
We go to another SpaceX story. This is about Dragon capsules. I don't know how many there are, but there are about to be more of them. This is like bunny rabbits, Bob. They're everywhere.
Well, I pointed this out when they first built and launched Endeavour, their first capsule. They said that capsule was going to fly on the first manned demo mission, and then it would fly a year later on the second operational mission, and it did that. So Endeavour's flown twice. And then the second capsule, Resilience, flew on the second manned mission. It was Endeavour did the third. But then Resilience, they took the docking port off it so that and put a window in place of that docking port and flew the Inspiration 4 private commercial orbital mission just a few weeks ago. And so that gave them two capsules, both reusable. Well, SpaceX wants to have, and NASA wants to have more than one or two capsules available for flights. So the flight, the manned flight that's going to launch to ISS later this month is going to use a new capsule. And then the launch that's going to occur in April 22 is also going to use a new capsule. And those will produce for SpaceX a fleet of three ISS dockable capsules to go to ISS for NASA. But they will still have resilience with its window instead of a docking port, which I think they're going to use in their December tourist flight that they've got scheduled with Space Adventures. So now what we've got is a private American company that has its own fleet of manned spaceships. A fleet. That's not a nation. That's a private company with a fleet of spaceships. And they made that happen in a little over a decade. And as I say, I'm behind the black. Who knows what wonders capitalism and freedom could accomplish if we simply had the courage to let it. You know, it's pretty amazing.
And, Bob, the Dragon capsule, the success so far, these are reusable capsules. Has NASA, are there other demands? Do other people need these? I mean, we've talked about a private enterprise, once again. But other nations I'm talking about.
Well, there would be issues, you know, State Department regulations about SpaceX selling its product to other nations. There would be possibilities. I mean, for example, if the United Arab Emirates wished to send two astronauts into space, a few astronauts into space, they could hire SpaceX to do that. And they said they were going to do that. Now, that's not come clear yet, but SpaceX says it's had lots of customers lining up, and I would not be surprised at all if you start to see some foreign third world nations who want to have space missions start hiring SpaceX, and when Boeing gets flying, finally, Boeing as well.
It makes sense.
There's money to be made.
I'm thinking of UAE particularly.
Yeah, yeah, and I had a story on this, we talked about it, where they announced they had, been in negotiations with SpaceX to fly on Dragon. Now there's been nothing said, but SpaceX has said that they have a whole bunch of customers in line, unnamed, and I would not be surprised if UAE is one of them.
We go to India, once upon a time, Bob's favorite, a big space operation, but right now, there is a political issue to do with Musk and Starlink. Now, Bob, Starlink is something you and I talk about all the time because I have ordered it when and if it arrives in rural Connecticut. It would give me a backup for my internet. What is the issue in India?
Well, okay, so Starlink, everyone knows, is SpaceX's giant constellation of small satellites to provide internet capability globally. But initially, and for mostly initially, it's aimed at the high latitudes and rural areas that don't have good internet service. And so they've been rolling out a beta version of this now for better, more than, what is it, 8 months now, in the northern latitudes of the north of the United States and Canada, in the UK. They have also now rolled it out in India and in a bunch of other places because of the rural nature of those locations. Well, India there's a private company in India that has major investments in Starlink's major competitor, OneWeb, which also has a constellation of satellites in orbit to provide global internet capabilities. And so I have no idea if that company with OneWeb is linked to this, but a non-profit advocacy group in India dubbed Telecom Watchdog has issued letters to the various regulatory agencies in India demanding that the Indian government prosecute Elon Musk and Starlink because it asks for and gets a $100 deposit from customers without guaranteeing a specific delivery date. In other words, you as you've done, John, you give them $100. You don't know when they'll open up service. You can always get a refund, but you basically can only sit there and wait. They're not going to tell you when, and they don't give you the full terms and conditions when you give the deposit in. And according to this watchdog group, that's against the law in India. They must give a refund. This could be politics going on in India because India's there's major investment in India in SpaceX's competitor here, and there could be under the table. I don't know this, but there could be under the table games being played to try to favor one over the other.
The Biden administration wants to deregulate commercial military satellites. Is that too much, Bob? Deregulate?
No, I'd say there was a speech given by one of the Biden administration's appointees, political appointees in charge of in the national intelligence community, in which she said that the Biden administration is focused on streamlining the regulations for commercial military satellites to the intelligence community. She basically was very clear about this. They want to follow up on what NASA has learned with the launch industry, the recommendations I put forth in my policy paper in 2017 in Capitalism in Space, basically to make it easier for private companies to provide the intelligence community the satellites and the launches they need to get their satellites up. And what's good about this is that it really clearly indicates the Biden administration is going to continue with the policies the Trump administration began, which follow my policy paper, and they're going to go with Capitalism in Space. Now, I point out in my post that they're not doing it because they want to promote freedom and capitalism. They're doing it because if they don't, they're going to lose complete control of everything, because private enterprise is really beginning to fly when it comes to space. And if they don't, in the intelligence community, grab onto this, they'll have no control at all. They want to hitch their covered wagon to a very powerful sports car, is essentially what's going on, John.
Most recently, Bob, I've done stories about the People's Republic of China building hundreds of silos for nuclear-tipped missiles in remote parts of Mongolia and Xinjiang. Those photographs that I've seen, and I've seen other photographs of unusual facilities built in that same very western part of conquered China, all commercial satellites. Nothing but the quality, the detail, everything you associate with the Cold War thrillers of satellite spy technology.
I mean, China, you know, we cannot underestimate them. They might not be very innovative or originalists. They copy people, but once they got it in their hands, they're very good at doing it well.
Therefore, the fact that military satellite imagery is now available on the open market, you and I can order it any day. Is that correct, Bob?
That's right. That's correct. That is absolutely correct. We might not get the highest quality that's available from and there's a second story that I post on Behind the Black about how the military satellite imagery is now being obtained from the competitive commercial market. This lines up with what the Biden administration is saying. And so what NRO, the National Reconnaissance Office, is now doing is it's shifting how it gets its military satellites imagery. Instead of depending on a single long-term contract for one company, which is like the Air Force used to do with ULA. Instead, they're now going to widen it, and they're going to start to ask for imagery from at least three different U.S. suppliers. And they'll encourage additional ones to come on board. So they'll have competition, and therefore many different companies can provide the imagery to them and to everybody else, John.
And Bob, is it true that you can read a newspaper over the shoulder of a human with military satellites? Was that always a legend from the Cold War?
Well, that's the legend, and I think that depending on the imagery and the satellite, I think it's true. I think there's one of the stories I linked to on Behind the Black on this subject. They show a picture of the Afghan airport when the U.S. was fleeing in panic, and you can see people lining up on the runway to get on board a plane. You can see the people, individual people. And this is from satellite image. It looks like it was taken from a reconnaissance airplane, but no, it was taken from orbit. And so, you know, the resolution, if you got the full resolution image, you very well could zoom in on the pixels and pick out, you know, a newspaper and read it.
Routinely, I see Honda motorcycles up and down the country roads of Connecticut. Now, I've not seen a Honda rocket, but are they building one?
It appears to be. They are now considering doing so. Honda had a major press release earlier this week in which they announced they're starting a new program intended to use the knowledge they have, the engineering they have, to diversify their business model, to get involved in other things. And that included robots. It included vertical takeoff and landing airplanes. And it also included building technology, engineering that could be used in lunar colonies. And finally, they're going to try to develop a reusable small-sat rocket comparable to Rocket Lab's Electron rocket and have it flying by 2030. And I'm puzzled about one thing. The news article said they're going to spend $9 billion per year on this for the next 5 years. And I just think that number's not right. It's just too high. But there's no doubt Honda is now committing itself to trying to do more than just cars. They want to do other things on the high-tech end related to aviation and space.
Well, if they build a rocket the way they build a motorcycle, they'll be extremely popular. Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.